today is to be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, concerning the two men that were traveling to the way of Emmaus. And behold, that same day we find two traveling to Emmaus. This town, Emmaus, was about 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. And these two men, they had been with the disciples back in Jerusalem when the women had come back and had told them that they had been to the sepulcher, and that they had seen a vision of angels, and they also had met Jesus. But these disciples, with the others, did not believe what these women had spoken of. Their words were to them as idle tales. And we find that these two men are traveling towards their home, which was in Emmaus. And as they're traveling together, they're talking with each other of what had taken place back in Jerusalem. They were talking about Jesus. All their hopes and all their expectations had been in him, and now he had been slain, he had been crucified, and he had been buried, and now they had heard these things from these women, but they couldn't believe what they had heard of them. They were then communing and talking with each other about Jesus. He was the object of their affections, and he was the object of their conversation. What a blessing. These two men, they were in a sad state. They were very dejected. They were cast down. And it's a mercy if we have someone that we can commune with, if we may be in a like state. There aren't too many people, my hearers, that you can talk with in our days. These two men, they had communion with each other. They loved Jesus, and they missed him so he was gone. All their hopes, all their expectations, all they expected him to be king, they expected him to be the ruler, they expected him to deliver them from the Roman yoke, and now all their hopes were buried in the grave. And as they're talking and communing with each other, it's to be seen on their faces. Oh, they are so sad and so dejected. And you know, if you are in this state, it's a blessing if you have someone that you can go to. And many times when people are in this state, they meet with another fellow traveler, and they get talking with that traveler about what has happened, what has taken place with them in the past. And as they're talking, they also tell each other how they are at the present time, how they haven't any hope, how it's all gone. Everything they experience seems to have been a tale, and they haven't too much expectation that they're going to be saved. Have you ever had that, my hearers? Have you ever been cast down, depressed, and not knowing what's going to become of what you thought really was the work of God in your heart? And then if you meet somebody, it's a blessing if you can discover to that person your own soul's condition. Sometimes we're so cast down we don't want to talk about it. We'd rather not say anything about it. But if we can talk with each other sometimes, why, we have communion with each other in our misery, in our complaints. And this is what these two men were having. And as they were talking and walking along together, and we find that Jesus came, and he likewise followed them and walked with them. And now this happens quite often when two meet together and they're talking, even if they're talking about their misery, they're talking about their deadness, their liveliness, their lifelessness, and then suddenly, even talking about these things, it starts to get warm inside. And they begin to talk about their desires that they have that Jesus would come, that he would appear unto them. And now Jesus came alongside of these two men, and they did not know him because their eyes were holden. This happens under the means of grace many times, that God's dear children come under the word, and suddenly the word becomes life. It becomes food. It becomes nourishment for their soul. Who is it that's talking to them? Ask them. They don't know. Who's making these impressions upon their hearts? Who melts their hearts into contrition? Who gives them them warm, lovely feelings that they have? They can't tell you. Their eyes are holden, but they don't know them. There may be some here that's been in that condition for years. How many years have you been that way? You've been looking, you've been longing, you've been waiting that Jesus would reveal himself to you, but your eyes are holden. You can't deny that you've come under the word, that you've experienced something. You would never say something like that, that you had never any feelings under the truth. But who is that now? Oh, could I but believe that that was Jesus now? And now these two men, they're walking along, and there comes Jesus with them. And you know, my hearers, if you know anything about spiritual matters, and you're talking with someone about these things, you don't like another person to come along, especially a stranger, because the first thing that they start to talk about is about some worldly matter. And you don't like to be disturbed in your conversation, especially if you've got feelings with each other and you're enjoying each other's companionship, to have a third party step in and start talking about something entirely different. You don't like that. But now this stranger, he approached them, and he spake unto them, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye are having with the other as you walk and are sad? See in this, my hearers, that you may be in that state as these disciples was. And the Lord Jesus, he has a way about him that he draws whatever he has placed in you out of you. He knows your sadness. He knows your despondency. He knows how cast down you are. Why? Because you miss him. Because it seems to be lost. Because it seems you're never going to be saved. But don't he know that? He sure does. And as he came alongside of these two disciples, so he comes alongside of his dear children, even to this very day yet. And he has a way about him that he approaches you and that he draws out of you just what's going on. Haven't you ever experienced that? Oh, then you've given such liberty to tell your whole heart to him. Oh, he drew it right out of you, what he had put in there. And now we find that these disciples, one whose name was Cleopas, and he began to speak. The Lord said unto him, him not knowing that it was Jesus, what manner of communications are these that ye have as ye walk and look so sad? This stranger that approached them, Cleopas, said, what? Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And you have not heard about these things that have taken place there in these days? Gee, Cleopas thought everybody heard about it. Everybody knew what had taken place with Jesus. He didn't think that anybody didn't know anything about that. And here was a man that was a total stranger. He didn't know nothing about it. And then the Lord said unto him, what things? What things? Why, concerning Jesus, who was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed before God and before the people, and how that our rulers and priests took him and slew him and crucified him, and how that likewise he was buried, and we thought it was he that would deliver us and redeem Israel. But now it's the third day, and some of the women of our company, they had been to the grave very early, and they came back and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels. And we sent two of our company to see whether this was true, and they went and seen, and they said the grave was empty. But him they saw not. This is what Cleopas is telling Jesus. He's telling Jesus that he was a prophet, mighty indeed before God and before all the people. Don't you think it was pleasant for the Lord Jesus Christ to hear this Cleopas talking this way? Oh, how good it must have been for Jesus to hear that this man was speaking so well about his person. Do you like to speak about him, my hearers? Have you ever conversation about Jesus? Oh, he is one glorious person. This man, Cleopas, he said he was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word and in deed before God and before all the people. Oh, this Cleopas and the other disciple, they remembered Jesus when he was alive. They remembered how that he had likewise spoken and taught. Oh, when he spake, the words had reached their own hearts. The words of Christ had been spirit and life for them. They had likewise seen him perform many miracles. He had raised the dead. He had cured the blind. By his mighty word, he just spake, and it was done. Oh, he was a prophet, mighty in deed, and in word before God, and before all the people. My hearers, has this prophet begun to teach you? Has he begun to discover unto you what you are? Has he given you to see what sins you have committed against his holy law? Has he unfolded unto you where you are traveling to and what the end will be if you continue on that way? Has he discovered anything of himself unto you? Or this prophet, when he begins to teach, he reaches the heart. And he discovers to us our steed and our condition for eternity. And then he discovers likewise that he is the way whereby we may escape and be saved in and through his blood and in and through his righteousness. This Cleopas, he's speaking well about Jesus because he had been taught himself. He had also received instructions from this prophet, and therefore he could speak well about Jesus. Oh, he was the one that he had expected to be the Redeemer of Israel. Oh, they expected him that he would be king, that he would deliver them from their Roman yoke, and that he would reign and they would be his vice regents. And now these two disciples, that was withholding from them that Jesus had redeemed his Israel, that he had likewise even redeemed them. This truth was withheld from them. They were only looking for an outward deliverance and that Jesus would be a glorious king. And now Cleopas, he got finished talking about Jesus and how that they likewise had been instructed by the women concerning that he was not in the grave. And it was a truth that two other disciples had confirmed, but here they were, walking along the way, sad and dejected. And then Jesus begins to speak unto them. And he says unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? The Lord Jesus Christ calls these two disciples fools. You know what a fool is? A fool in a natural sense is an idiot, is a weak-minded person. But a fool in scriptural sense is a sinner. In the Proverbs, we read many times about fools. And now, folly and foolishness is sin. Oh, fools! Slow of heart to believe. What was their sin? Unbelief. This Jesus reproves them for. Oh, they were so slow of heart to believe what they had been instructed in. He likewise had told them when he was alive that he would suffer many things from the rulers and the chief priests, and that they would crucify him, and that he would rise the third day. But these things had been hidden from them. And now he calls them fools, slow of heart to believe. My hearers, aren't we like these disciples? I don't want to call you a fool. But are we not sinners? Are we not filled with foolishness? And what is our sin? Unbelief. How very few know of this sin and have any trouble with this sin. We are all under a state of unbelief by nature, and it does not disturb us. But if God has given you the grace of faith, then you have trouble with unbelief. And how does this unbelief work, my hearers? Just like with these disciples, you come under the hearing of the truth, and actually maybe your own state and condition may be brought out, and you're listening very attentively. But as you're listening to your condition and your state, there's a voice inside that's saying unto you, that's not for you. Just look at your life. Just look what a sinner you are. Just look how you're living and what you're doing. Do you think that those things are for you? That's impossible. You're too far gone. Why? You're sure going to die in your sins. And now what do you listen to? Do you listen to the experience that's being explained, which would be of comfort to you? No, you're listening to that voice inside. And you believe that voice. You accept that voice rather than that you would accept what is being taught to you. See in this, my hearers, that we cannot exercise faith ourselves. We cannot believe because others speak to us and tell us things about ourselves and about Jesus. We need the Spirit of God to give unto us faith. We need Jesus to work in us by his Spirit that true faith. These disciples then, they were fools, slow of heart to believe, such are we. And all my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to expound unto them the scriptures concerning himself. He took them all the way back to Moses. He began in Genesis. He began with the first promise, I think, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and he would bruise his heel. There already there was a disclosure made unto the world of the coming of the Messiah. And he led them probably through all the sacrifices that Moses was given to institute under the direction of God in the Old Testament. Oh, I thought when I was reading that, oh, how sad it is that the Holy Spirit didn't give that sermon was written down in the Word. What a sermon that must have been. Jesus expounding unto them things concerning himself from Moses to that period right then. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us likewise that when Jesus begins to expound the scriptures, he always points to himself. That's something you and I wouldn't do. We haven't got much to point to. But all he directs us to himself, because he is one glorious person, and that is the person that you and I need. All while he was doing this, they were all ears, they were all attentive. Everything that this man was speaking to them about was so true, and he proved it with the word. Oh, they couldn't bring any objections in against it. It was so true that he had to suffer, and that he had to die, and that he had to arise again. Oh, he instructed them in the way of salvation as they had never been instructed before. Have you ever had it? Has Jesus ever begun to instruct you by him? Has he ever opened the scriptures for you? Has he ever begun to point in the scriptures something of his beauty, something of his excellency, something of his loveliness to you? Oh, what a wonderful experience it is when we just sit and listen and Jesus becomes the one altogether lovely. Oh, this glorious Savior then, he expounds the things concerning himself unto each and every one of his children. And oh, when this takes place, my hearers, that we would like to sit and just pass away to be with him in such a frame as that. It's so wonderful, it's so sweet. Oh, we see nothing but Jesus then, and Jesus alone. We forget everything round about us, and we would like to pass away to be with him in heaven above. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is for a poor sinner whose eyes are holden and who has no knowledge yet of this precious Jesus, and still he's unfolded by the word unto such a creature, whom having not seen, ye believe, and whom seeing not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and filled with glory. Have you ever experienced it, my hearers? And then your eyes are holding yet. How long has your eyes been holding? Haven't you been looking for him? Haven't you been longing for him to reveal himself to you? That he would tell you that it is him himself. These disciples, they're walking along this way. And oh, you may be sure that their hearts were so enlivened that all their sadness and all their dejectedness was gone. Oh, when he comes along, my hearers, he takes all these things away. And they immediately were at the place where they were supposed to go. They were immediately in the front of the house. How wonderful this is, my hearers. When the Lord takes in the heart, when he takes in the mind, oh, then we are lost for the time. And we only have him in our thoughts and in our affections. And now when they got to this house, this stranger, he acted as if he would go further. And now these two disciples, they had enjoyed his companionship. They had been listening to him all the while, and their hearts had been so affected by this that they didn't want to lose the companionship of this man. Oh, this man, he spoke so well of their Savior. He spoke so well of their Master. Oh, he surely must have loved him too, or he never could have pointed out to them the things that they had been listening to. And therefore, they entreated him. They constrained him, and they said, "Abide with us, for the day is far spent, and the evening draweth nigh." Oh, my hearers, they didn't want him to go away. Oh, they had a place in their house for him. They had something to eat for him. They had a bed for him to lay in. Oh, wouldn't he stay? Wouldn't he abide with them and come in? How many listening to me have that love and that affection for the Lord's people? You must understand they didn't know that it was Jesus. You know, when Lydia received an open heart, and then she invited Paul and Silas into her house. She had a house open for them. Do you like to have the followers of Jesus come to your house? Do you invite them to come? Do you like to listen to their conversation? Are you attached to them with bands of love? See it in these two disciples. Oh, abide with us. Don't go away. Stay with us. We've enjoyed so much of your company, and oh, we'd like to have you in our house. Come in with us. Abide with us. For the day is far spent, and the evening draweth nigh. How many listening to me have had a similar experience as these two men on the way to Emmaus? Have you ever had your heart open? Have you ever experienced the nearness of Jesus, the love of Jesus? Have you had ears to hear and a heart to receive? Or was your heart melted into contrition under the word? And all while you were sitting under the word, you were saying, "Go on, go on, don't stop, keep speaking, keep reading. Oh, it's so good for me. I hope the church don't go out." This is what these men had. They began to say unto him and to constrain him to stay with them. "Abide with us, for the day is far spent, and the evening draweth nigh." How suitable, my hearers, this prayer. Abide with us. How many souls have experienced something like these disciples experienced? and are now in such a sad state. It appears as if he's gone. It appears as if he's going to withdraw himself completely. And you're saying, dear Jesus, don't go away. Do stay. Abide with me. For the day is far spent, and the evening draweth nigh. Oh, how suitable for a poor seeking soul. Oh, how suitable for such who are in the evening time of their life. For there are many whose hairs are gray, who are bordering on the grave. And if you've ever experienced something of Jesus, then you will say, oh, abide with me, because the day of my life is far spent, and the evening cometh nigh, when I will have to die, and all be with me, abide with me. All my hearers, when I think of the state and condition of the church at the present time, oh, must we not say it's an evening time? Not too long ago I read a sermon in them words, if you remember, an evening time. You know, when evening comes, and then the sun goes down, and then we begin to see the shadows of the night. And so when the sun of righteousness goes down in the soul, then we don't see anything anymore of its beauty. And then we begin to see nothing else but ourselves, our sins, our guilt. And likewise, when the sun of righteousness begins to go down in his church and withholds the rays of his glorious influences, oh, then the church comes into a sad state. It's been in such a sad state for such a long time. His spirit is so withdrawn from us. We see so little conversions taking place. When was the last time that you heard a sinner was converted? And we see God's dear people walking mostly in darkness and bondage. So seldom do they enjoy something under the truth. So seldom are they lifted up above themselves. When do we hear of a soul being delivered, being given that gracious blessing of being pardoned and reconciled with God and finding peace with God? The Spirit of God is so departed. And it seems as if it's departing more and more. How suitable, abide with us. For the day of the church is far spent, and the evening is drawing nigh. We may believe that Christ is on the way to come to visit his church and to enter into that glorious day of judgment. Oh, may you and I be given to pray with these disciples. Oh, even for this little flock that we have here, oh, abide with us. For the day is fast spent, and the evening draweth nigh. Oh, may we entreat him and constrain him to abide with us, that he may come down again in his church with his spirit, and that sinners may be born again, and that we may realize something of a blessed revival in his church. Abide with us, my hearers. Did Christ listen to them? He did. He was constrained by them. Isn't this encouraging, my hearers? He went in with them. Wouldn't you want him to come in by you? Isn't that your prayer? Abide with us. Come in, O thou blessed of the Lord. Do come into my heart. Do not leave me any further. He went in with them. He listened to them. Do you think he'll listen to us? Oh, I'm sure if we all unitedly entreat him, and then he will most certainly come in our midst. Oh, he's so willing. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I will enter into him, and he with me, and we shall sup together. Here are these disciples, they're entreating him, and they constrained him, and he went in with them. And when he went in with them, my hearers, we find that they began making preparations for the meal. And lo and behold, they had the things on the table. And you know, when a stranger comes into your home, he don't stand at the head of the table. He usually sits down. The person that is the owner of the home, he is the person that is at the head of the table. But here, this stranger, he stood at the head of the table. And as he stood at the head of the table, he took the bread and he began to break this bread. Just as he had done the night before he had entered into Gethsemane, he had broken the bread. Whether these disciples were there, I know not. In all probabilities, they had been there. And now he stood before them, and he began breaking the bread. And as he broke the bread and handed it to them, their eyes were open. And they recognized who it was. And they see him, their Savior, their Redeemer, their Lord, their Master. He who they thought that had been dead and buried, he stood before them. Oh, what a sight this must have been for these two disciples, my hearers. Oh, what a glorious sight. Here he was, alive, and here he was, standing in the front of them. Oh, my hearers, let us invite him likewise to come into our hearts. And oh, there may be some listening to me that remember a time when they were under the means of grace. It may have not been a communion time, but the Lord was breaking the bread, and you got a crumb. A crumb is so much under the means of grace. Oh, how sweet it is to taste something of his love, of his communion, of his fellowship. Some of his words, they're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And you remember the time when you did eat them? And they were to the joy and the rejoicing of your soul. And all these words, they were the words of Jesus. Although you couldn't believe it, although you didn't see him, still it came with so much power, so much force, that you recognized that it was his voice. He did not reveal himself to you as he did to these disciples, because their eyes were opened and they were given faith to see who he was. And oh, how glorious this sight must have been. And immediately he vanished out of their sight. Immediately. You recognize what I want to tell you about? Maybe you experienced something under the truth. It was only a minute. Oh, the sweets of heaven, my hearers, they don't last so long. Oh, there are only sometimes a few golden moments, and immediately it's gone. There may be some listening to me that say, oh, how true. I had it so good while I was listening to the truth, and before the church went out, it was all gone already. The sweets of heaven, they don't last long. And immediately he vanished out of their sight. How did he vanish? It's a mystery. How did he go? Did he go out the door? He had a human body. He must have went out of the house. And now these two disciples, oh, picture them together. Oh, how sad and how dejected they had come along that way. And now while they were going along that way, Jesus had come along with them. And oh, he had brightened their journey so. And now when they came to that house, there he was. Oh, my hearers. They didn't want to go to sleep then anymore. Oh, no. They didn't want to wait until tomorrow to tell somebody about that. Oh, no. They were so filled with life and joy and peace and believing that he was alive and well. Oh, they immediately headed back to Jerusalem. Oh, they had to tell somebody about what they had seen and experienced. Oh, they hasted to go back to Jerusalem, which was 2 hours' journey. 2 hours walk. But that didn't mean anything to them. Oh, they were so filled. And they wanted to express unto these disciples what they had seen and what they had felt and realized under the walking from Emmaus to their home and likewise in their home. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever been so filled with joy, so filled with happiness, that the work was God, that he had witnessed so strongly in your heart, and you could believe it so, that you wanted to tell somebody about it? Or you hasted to go to your best friend, who you knew had ears to hear, and probably was in the same condition as you was, or you wanted to talk to them and try to encourage them and tell them how good God had been to you, how faithful he was, and all that he would be the same unto them. And therefore, these disciples, they hasted to go back to Jerusalem. Oh, I can see them walking. How different they look now. How much they had to talk about now. When they were coming along the way, they were so sad and so dejected. But now, they wish they had wings. I guess they would have flown to Jerusalem. And we find that they came back to Jerusalem. And they found the disciples gathered together. Imagine that. They were all there. And these disciples, when they came in, and they were so filled with this, I can imagine that they must have said right away, you know what we seen? We seen Jesus. We met Jesus. He's alive. He's well. I can hear them talking like that when they entered into the door. But they were met likewise with the disciples saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he hath been seen of Simon. Then Peter, he likewise had seen the Lord. Where Peter met him, and how Peter had been given a vision of him, Scripture does not say. But what a meeting that must have been. A broken-hearted Peter with a living, risen Jesus. Oh, how he must have been melted into contrition at his feet. He had been seen likewise of Simon. Here they were now together. Oh, what a meeting there was here. Oh, how they all had something to say about Jesus and how he was risen from the dead and he was alive. And they had seen him. My hearers, where two or three are gathered in his name, he has promised that he will come in the midst of them. And while they're so busy occupied talking about Christ, as suddenly Jesus entered into their midst. And there he stood in the midst of all his disciples. And they were so affrighted, and they were so terrified, they thought that they saw a spirit, a ghost. And he spake unto them and said, peace be unto you. Oh, what wonderful words, so applicable for their condition. Oh, how suitable for these disciples, so terrified, so excited. Peace be unto you. My hearers, I cannot continue any longer. It's 3:07. But the Lord willing, we'll pick up the subject from this point next week. Our subject next week will be Thomas, the unbeliever. Although I wish that every one of us had that same faith that Thomas had. The Lord bless what has been spoken this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.